Hello, I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. I'm a number of things, and you're probably wondering why you should be listening to me right now. Well, I ask the same question sometimes. First and foremost, I am privileged to be the pastor of the people of New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. I have been a pastor for quite some time, and I have to admit I've been one of those kinds of pastors that the standard answers often don't satisfy me. And so I tend to go looking for alternate readings, deeper meetings, looking for ways to take these ancient dusty texts and bring them to life in ways that are engaging and relevant for those of us living in the 21st century. I'm also a visual artist. I do quite a bit of painting, both acrylic and watercolor. And throughout my career have been something of a gadfly, trying to prod the faithful and our institutions into being more inclusive, more embracing, more creative. And so I hope that you'll join me on this little journey as we explore some of the texts that we're using from week to week. Now, part of the reason I'm doing this is that every week I do a little write-up of the texts and the ideas that are going to be the focus of our worship times each weekend. And it occurred to me that there are some people who might rather listen to some of those explorations than have to read them on paper. And so that's what we are doing here. And so these are the thoughts rattling around inside my head and my heart for the second Sunday in Lent. That will be March 5th, 2023. And the scripture that we're going to be focusing on is probably one of, at least it contains one of, the best known, best loved verses in all of the Bible. Bear with me as I read through our text coming from John's Gospel. In the third chapter, verses 1 through 17. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God was with you." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter your mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it is not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about things that we've seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave their only Son, that whoever believes in this one should not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through this one." So that verse that I referred to earlier, of course, is John 3:16, and we'll be looking at that here in a little bit. That this whole conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus, fraught with misunderstanding, sometimes obtuse thinking, but it's all about some new kind of life. And I often say that, you know, those of us who are a part of a faith community, those of us who follow Jesus, we're really in the resurrection business. Now, I want to be clear that what I believe about resurrection, that it begins in the midst of this life, and it is not just a grace or a miracle or a revivification that comes only at the end of things. That we experience newness of life, real resurrection, in the midst of the lives that we're living. It is not just a promise for some time after time. Now, we're at New Visions, we're using some material for our Lenten journey that comes from A Sanctified Art. And their theme for Lent this year is seeking honest questions for deeper faith. And the question that they frame this Sunday with is, how do we begin again? That question for me is an invitation then to ponder resurrection. Now, that verse, that John 3:16 is so quoted and so used and even overused that, you know, I think we almost don't even hear it anymore. And trying to use that passage in worship can really be a minefield because of that, that we think we know what it says, we've heard it so many times, that we think maybe there's nothing left there for us to explore. It has become a trope, a meme, certainly a cliche. Well-intentioned Christians, at least I assume they are well-intentioned Christians, you know, hold up signs that say John 3:16 in the end zone at football games when they're trying to kick the point after. I don't know what they think the TV viewers are going to get out of that, but it seems to be important enough that they have brought their signs. So the part of my struggle with this verse is that it has been so co-opted by the me and Jesus crowd that and they do love this verse, and there is a lot in this verse to love. But they tend to use it in such a way of letting people know that Jesus loves them personally and individually. You know, this is something between me and Jesus. Now, hear me. I do believe that God loves us personally and individually. But that love is so much more expansive than just me and Jesus. John tells us that what Jesus said was that God loves more than just you and me. God loves the world. And, you know, we can probably have some back and forth about what the world meant 2,000 years ago when this was being written. Their concept of the universe was a lot smaller than our concept, but I think that's what it means. It doesn't just mean that which we see and understand, but the whole of existence. Part of that is because I believe that the whole of existence came to be in order for God to love. It came out of love. Now, that means that when in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the universe, for God so loved all that there is and all that there will be, that means that God loves not just some of the people in the world, not just those that we're comfortable with or that we're familiar with or even just those who agree with us, but you know, the whole unedited, encompassing existence. Now, I met a young woman a number of years ago, back when we were already engaged in the struggle to try and make the United Methodist Church more inclusive. This person was telling us about a conversation she had when she'd been invited to take part in one of those debates, you know, that maybe they're still going on, I don't know. But the debates over homosexuality, what does the Bible say? And they had one presenter who, of course, presented a negative view, and this person was asked to present a positive view, and then, you know, everybody was supposed to make their own mind up. But the person giving the con talk laid out his argument about why the Bible did not leave room for gay believers, and quoted, you know, many of those famous texts. We're sometimes calling them clobber texts because they are used to hit people over the head. But after making his argument, this young woman asked him to quote John 3:16. And he quite glibly did so. For God so loved the world. And on and on. And then she stopped him in the middle of it and asked, so just who does Jesus say are saved? And he answered, well, whoever believes. For God so loved the world that whoever believes will be saved. And she said back to him then, whoever. And he said, but the Bible says homosexuality is an abomination. And she said, whoever. Well, yes, but the Bible, whoever. And every time he kept coming up with a quote or an example of a limitation on God's love, she just kept saying, whoever. 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 And she concluded by saying that at least for her, Christianity is a whoever kind of faith. I also believe in a whoever faith. Which means I have to give up control that everyone believes in Jesus in the same way that I do, or follows in the same way that I do, or even uses the same names and words that I do. If the love of Christ somehow pervades and sweeps them up in ways that seem alien or unconventional to me, then, well, whoever. The Spirit of Christ is moving around this entire world, this entire existence, loving it all in ways that maybe I can't see or understand. And I think the point of whoever is that I don't need to see it all or understand it all. That maybe it's not my job to keep it all in control. Instead, maybe it is my job to create a place where those seeking a whoever kind of acceptance can find it and call it home. Now, I've been challenging our congregation to practice resurrection as the people of New Visions for a good little while here. You know, we're compelled to become a new thing, a phoenix from the ashes of the three previous congregations that have come together to give birth to New Visions. to use the language of Jesus, to be born anew or from above, to be born again and again, that word that Jesus uses here that gets translated in so many ways, it actually means all of those things. To be born anew, to be born from above, to be born again and again. And elsewhere, Jesus talks about being born of the Spirit. The thing about the ancient Greek is that it is not as specific as English tries to be. That it can mean all of those things kind of all at the same time. So which one do you pick? Well, you pick them all. This is a regenerative kind of rebirth that brings about an entirely new kind of life. To be discovered by those whoever spiritual seekers and creating a place of outlandish hospitality for them will transform who we are and bring us a new birth from above again and again and open to us a birth through a spirit that we never anticipated. When resurrection knocks on our door, I pray that we will open it wide. God so loved the world, and the world is where that new life will discover us. So here are a few questions to ponder on this, and you may have your own. I hope that you would share some of the questions that you're pondering. The whole premise of this is that the questions we ask lead us to a different faith, even when there are no answers to those questions. But here's a few questions that I had. How do you imagine that Nicodemus was changed by his encounter with Jesus that night? Sneaking in the dark, having this, what appears to be kind of a surreptitious conversation. Was the Nicodemus who left Jesus that night the same one who sought him out? And what about a new kind of life might frighten you? You know, what are the things of this life that you might not be quite ready to leave behind for the sake of a new life? But what might that new life look like? What kind of person, as we think about a whoever kind of faith, what kind of person might challenge your sense of whoever? And what does it mean that whoever believes can be saved? What is belief? What does it mean to be saved? When does new life start? When does a new beginning invite you then to be a blessing to the world? Not to try and define who's in or who's out, but somehow embodying and expanding that kind of love that looks the whole of existence over and simply says, whoever. Thanks for listening. These are just a few of the thoughts. They keep bubbling around in my head and my heart, and I hope maybe we've stirred things up a little bit for you. Hope that maybe you can join in the conversation. I will try to post these thoughts weekly, but you can always join us in worship 10 o'clock Sunday mornings here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're found at 11th and Garfield Streets, 1610 South 11th Street. You can also find us online on Facebook, New Visions United Methodist Church. If you check out our website, www.newvisionsumc.org, you'll find links to where we live stream our worship on our homepage. So thanks for joining me. Hope to carry on the conversation a little bit down the line, and we'll both kind of discover what this is all about and the best way to grow in the surprising love of God. Blessings on you. Be signs of peace and hope for each other.